Welcome back, everybody. We have got a special treat for you here today as we are kicking off a bit of a different atmosphere here as we are in the midst of our character studies. We're pretty much about to hit the home stretch of our final main characters that we have to talk through and go through a lot of their song rankings. But along the way, when we put out all of those surveys to ask you guys to rank pretty much, or rate, I should say, pretty much every Glee song ever, we have a bunch of different categories that we need to get into, talking about the different rankings of how all of that shook out for, like I said, a bunch of different categories. So we're going to kind of have like a little bit of a mini series here, where we go through a bunch of these different categories. We're going to kind of combine some of them into one podcast. So today, I think we have three categories that we're going to go through. Nothing to really analyze here from any kind of, you know, character perspective or characters. So it's pretty much going to be all song rankings. And, we asked you guys on Twitter as well, do you want us to do this on the podcast or just do it on Twitter? I think 66% of people voted for on the podcast with commentary. So that is what you're getting. And if you voted in the other side of things, then oops, sorry, you can just, not that I encourage you to skip, but it will be in the spreadsheet over time eventually. I'm excited to get into this mishmash of whatever we're going to be talking about today with all of these different songs. Of course, I'm not alone. Amon, ready for the mishmash?
I'm ready for the mishmash, the pish-posh, the osh-mamugagosh, all of it mashed together into one big giant song sandwich of septets and octets and everything else. Let's do it. All the forgotten songs, all of the neglected ones, all of the downtrodden, the underdogs of the Glee songs, if you will.
Oh, wow. Way to bring it on home. Way to bring it on home. Exactly. With the theme of the show here incorporated into the podcast. Love it.
This podcast is a biting comedy for the... Wait, is it biting comedy or for the biting underdog? What is it?
I forget. Biting no, that sounded right.
For the underdog and all of us. Yeah, biting podcast for the underrated Glee song and all of us.
Something like that. We're still working on the branding here, guys, as you can tell. We're still trying to figure out exactly what to call this. Hopefully by the time it hits your feed, we'll have had some kind of name title on it, but we're trying to figure out how to do our branding here, because this is truly just kind of a mishmash of things that are going to be in this podcast and in the next couple of ones as we work through some of these song rankings to let you guys know how things all shook out. One of the ones that we're doing here today, the one that I think we're going to start with that I'm also pretty excited for, I know we talked about it as we went through the show, is talking about these random, some often forgotten about songs/groups. A lot of these come from groups that performed at a sectionals, a regionals, a nationals, but it was that third team that you just did not know about or did not care about. So some of these are going to be like a 37-second clip or something, but we still are going to go through them, discuss the ridiculousness of them, might even be talking over them, so hopefully you don't mind that, but we're just going to kind of have some fun today talking about those songs. I know that there are some standouts that Amon likes along the way, so we'll get to the vacation of it all whenever that shows up, but there's some ridiculous stuff in here we're going to give some attention to, so that's to start off.
Yes, I mean, if we're doing septets and octets today, I feel like I can think of a few that I'm like, oh yes, finally gets its moments to shine, so I'm excited.
Yeah, so we're doing the all those ridiculous songs that I was just talking about. Well, not all of them are ridiculous. Some of them pretty good performances. But if you're not named the Warblers or Vocal Adrenaline or New Directions, your song, like that group, probably has their songs in the countdown today. So we have 15 of those songs we're going to get to. Following that, we're going to get into the septets and the octets, which are words that I've recently learned in the past 48 hours. So that is going to be covering any Glee cover that has 7 or 8 people involved in it. Why are we doing it like this? Why are we breaking it down like this? Well, pretty much like each... Like, anytime you take a performance that has a different number of people, it kind of has a different feel to it, right? So it didn't feel right to combine, you know, the 8-person, you know, cover of The Scientist with a 4-person cover of Call Me Maybe. So, like, we kept all of the different performances separated by number of people. So here today, we're going to be talking about the septets and the octets together with 11 of those songs. And also at the very end, we're going to take some time to talk about the treble tones as a whole. So... like I said, a lot of random mishmash happening here, but we're going to have some fun talking about some songs that won't probably come up in anybody's countdown because that's not how that works. So, I don't know. You ready? Should we just kind of get into it and talk about some of these sillier songs here on the ridiculous countdown? You have the list in front of you today, so you know all the songs we're talking about.
If I have the list, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. What, did you send me the list in an email?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm going into this blind then. It's more fun that way.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you. I did send you the list last night, but of course, as the most organized podcast hosts, or I should say at least 50% of this podcast host being very organized, this is where we land, and you get to hear it all play out live on podcast. But
I mean, I feel like that's you know, better.
That's probably
not necessarily know everything.
Totally up to you. So that's what we'll go with today then. Amon going into this blind, as are all of you, unless you're like peeking and looking at the list on the iTunes, whatever, or, you know, the episode description. So yeah, let me stop babbling and let's get on into this. We have 15 songs we're going to start off with here of this random assortment of stuff. And we are going to go through all of them and just see what we were watching on this show. So without further ado, we are going to get started here with song number 15 on this countdown that you guys voted on, we voted on, so here we go with that.
They travel 87 miles by horse and buggy to drop an old school beat, the Rosedale Mennonites! Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse was the way to carry the sleigh through the wide and drifted snow. Oh, over the river and through the woods, drive fast my dapple gray. Spring over the ground like I'm hunting out, for this is Thanksgiving Day.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
When she comes.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
Oh, when she comes.
She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming
round the mountain.
She'll be coming.
I have the biggest smile on my face because that's so, I don't know why, over the river and through the woods mashed up with She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. We had the Rosedale Mennonites, that was from the season 4 sectionals. So little did we know about what was to come with Marley, but that was the opening performance there.
Yo, they were feeling themselves, yo. When that delayed beat on that Come Around the Mountain, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Oh, yes. Yes.
And we had like Mercedes and Santana and Mike Chang in the audience, and they were kind of getting down with it. I mean, at first Santana had a look on her face, which is a usual Santana look, like what is happening here? But the Warblers were enjoying it. Like everybody was having fun.
I mean, these are a bunch of Ohio bitches at heart. So, like, I feel like all of these kids at some point or another were growing up at singing this song at summer camp or something. Like, don't act brand new. Just because you got the Warblers uniform on and you're not in the Mennonite church, don't be trying to act brand new. You know this song. This song's a bop. Mm-hmm. I was about to say, you know, they came in third place, but it was a strong third place because they didn't come in third place. They came in second because the New Directions get disqualified.
Which means the Rosedale Mennonites should have been the ones who ended up coming in second and winning after the Warblers got disqualified. Why did the New Directions get to win?
They should have. They should have. Isn't that a conundrum?
Over the river and through the woods, she'll be coming around the mountain. This group right here should have been your rightful winners of the sectionals of 2000 and whatever year this is. So that's that. Coming in at number 15, and let's keep moving to number 14. Let's check out another one of these groups. Oh, wow. 18 seconds. A whole 18 seconds we got on that one. That's awesome. That was She Walks in Beauty from the Golden Goblets. And somehow that ranked above She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. Like, those Rosedale Mennonites should have won. Wow.
They definitely should have won.
I don't even know what there is to comment on that one, but it was there. So it was included.
Was that them again?
No. That was the Golden Goblets who oh, okay. How do you not remember the Golden Goblets, Amon? My God. From season 3, the regionals.
Spiritual, life-changing, never been done before. I am forever changed.
I know. Wow. 18 whole seconds. I can't believe we didn't get more. That's sad. Okay, number 13 here. Number 13, we're going back to season 2. We're going to season 2's regionals, I think this is.
High school, let's have a warm welcome for Oral Intensity!
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I'm a friend of Jesus.
That was high energy. Oral intensity. Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is my friend. Jesus is... I'm a friend of Jesus. I mean... How do you think you're going to win with this song? I just... It's no shade to Christians. It's no shade to Christian music. I just don't think that trying to win a high school show choir competition is going to be achieved with a song like this.
I mean, a fair point. A fair point for sure. But what do you want? Let them live.
I want some pop shit. I want some ratchet shit. I want something about sex and depravity. That's the kind of stuff that wins competitions.
All right. Fair enough. So that was number 13. Oral intensity there. All three of these songs on the way all three of these bottom songs are the only songs actually that were not released onto iTunes. So should they have been included? Who cares? They are here though, nonetheless. So everything else that you're going to hear on this countdown is something that, yes, you can actually go and download if you wish to. So let's move on to number 12, the first of that category. And let's see what we have next.
Blames the one before and all of their frustration come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the
we had The Living Years there. And where was that from? I have to take a look. The Living Years was from season 2 at their sectionals by the hipsters.
Yeah. The pearly white gates are definitely opening for these folks.
<That's true. laughs> Whoa. That was a high school competition, right? That we had that performance at.
What were they getting? They were getting their GEDs, right? Like, they were like, it's like never too late to get your education. That was like the whole joke, something like that.
Something like that. So.
I mean, they definitely, they sound good. I mean, I just feel like there was no choreography, you know? I mean, who cares if you've got sciatica and your hips are broken and Artie's in a wheelchair. He's still moving. What the hell? No excuses.
Wow. Yeah. Well. They finish here at number 12 on this list, the hipsters, so not bad for that. Let's keep on moving to a group that has nothing to do with any competition, but a group that we did spend at least one episode with. Let's check out what's going over here.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with a nitty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung, you wanna pull up tough. You notice that butt was stuffed deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. I'm tired of magazines saying flat butts are the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She got a pack much back. So fellas, fellas, has your girlfriend got the butt? Tell her to shake it, shake it, shake that healthy butt. Baby got back. Baby got back. Baby got back.
Okay, let's stop on that there. From season 4, Kurt takes a trip to... This is Niata, right? This is the Niata a cappella group?
Yes, it is.
Okay, the Adam's Apples. Yeah, their version of the Glee Club, the Adam's Apples here, led by Adam himself, singing Baby Got Back.
I mean, the white... He's saying that so white. Like, take the average black man and ask him that. She's got a pack much back. Like, All right, buddy. All right.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Yeah, the enunciation on this song about ass cheeks flapping in the air is hilarious to me. But yeah, this was the song that got Glee into a little bit of trouble, but not really, because ultimately the independent artists didn't really have enough of a following to really do anything. I don't think that Glee ever really rectified this mistake either. I don't think they ever like really officially recognized him or, you know, threw him a couple of dollars. Like, they just took canceled this guy's song and ran right over him.
Mm-hmm. And this actually ended up being the lowest ranked audience song. So I guess look at us giving the Adam's Apples group a nice big boost from the floor of this competition to being at number 11 just by giving it like the mere like minimum amount of average level points that it possibly could have gotten. So audience not seeming to either remember or care about this one. So that was number 11, the Adam's Apples with Baby Got Back. And let's move on to number 10.
About rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to
Okay, Ryder, nobody cares what you have to say. That was Rainbow Connection from the Waffle Toots at the Season 4 Regionals performance, where the New Directions are backstage preparing to go on, and Ryder is working through some stuff back there, deciding to be in the Glee Club or not. But the Rainbow Connection... No, I'm sorry, I almost called them the Rainbow Connections. The Waffle Toots.
I love this song. I wish that... I like the arrangement of this as well, and I wish that I could actually hear more of the song until we get the scene change. But luckily, this song is released on iTunes, so I do own this one, and I enjoy this arrangement a lot. But I'm a big fan of the song in general. So there's a Disney, I don't know if they're still releasing them, but like I think it was like every year they would release an album called We Love Disney, where they would just get a bunch of celebrities and famous singers to sing classic Disney songs. And now that the Muppets are now owned by Disney, this song is now considered a Disney song, and Gwen Stefani has a pretty nice cover of this song for what you're going to get from Gwen Stefani, at least.
Why are you being shady to Gwen Stefani?
Well, I mean, well, some people, you know, I mean, I like Gwen Stefani. I don't have a problem with her at all, but some people, you know, don't really appreciate her as a talented vocalist, which I can understand.
I think those people need to go take a hike.
Like, hey, I like Gwen Stefani, so I was just saying.
Number 9.
She was checking up on me from the game. She was spitting in my ear. You would think that she knew me. I decided to chill. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to blow. Watch out. Oh, watch out. She was saying, come get me. So I got up and followed her to the floor. She said, baby, let's go.
Said what? Oh, yeah. Okay. So singers with attitude.
Yeah.
From season 2's New York episode, they went to nationals, and that was one of the teams competing. And they deserve to make it to nationals. That was fun for the 50 seconds we got them for.
I just feel like I wouldn't have used those dresses for all the dancing that they were doing. I just feel like we are bound to see one panty or two. But that's my only critique here.
Yeah, and that song is also, yeah, just along with the rest of these, released on iTunes, and you can go check out the Singers with Attitude cover of Yeah from season 2.
Singers with Attitude.
So there's that. It's actually, this is the 9 spot all the way down is pretty much like a bit of a cutoff here. So every song above it got decently better ratings. So this is like the bottom of the barrel of like these songs that are like the silly ones, I would say. The rest of them are all a little bit more reasonable.
Refined.
So
Yeah,
refined is a good way to put it. Let's get into number 8.
Can you handle this, Shadonda? Can you handle this, aphasia? Can you handle this? I don't think they can handle this. Better move, sweet arrive.
There you are. Come on, baby. Don't you wanna dance with me? Can you
Right, that was from the Hairography episode in season one. The Jane Addams Academy gets invited to come down to the to McKinley because they don't have a stage to perform on. So Will's like, oh, come on down. They perform there for the Glee kids, and Will and Rachel and everybody in the audience is a little shaken up at how good they were.
Yeah, I don't know why this group decided to steal from the New Directions. That was like the worst thing that they ever could have done. I mean, sure, you're robbing the New Directions of what they were going to do, but you probably could have beat the New Directions if they had stuck to this. This was their lane. Now, granted, like I said before when we covered this many, many, many months back, I do have a problem with the arrangement of it all because there just aren't enough harmonies here. Like, there's just a lot of unison with some harmony sprinkled in at certain parts. But obviously they are all great performers and they do sound great for what it's worth. So if they would have just stuck to this, they probably would have done well at sectionals or national, whatever the hell they were. But yeah, this is a lot of fun. Like, this song is just, I mean, there's a reason why Destiny's Child is like one of the best girl groups to date ever. Like, there still hasn't been a girl group since then that's been able to really top what they have been doing. So I just always think about Beyonce's Super Bowl performance when she brings out Kelly and Michelle and they pop up out of those trap doors and Kelly comes out of there like, whoa, bitch, I'm here. And then freaking Michelle, God bless her, but she comes out and she almost falls over. I'm like, God damn, girl. Like, how many times did you have to rehearse this? It was just so funny.
So you're saying that this performance here, Bootylicious, is better than that one?
Well, no. Hell no, hell no, hell no. I mean, let's be clear. Michelle did not fall. I'm just saying, if you watch them side by side, Kelly was prepared, and Michelle pops up like, it's just not good.
Yeah, this is a fun one here. I enjoy this performance. It's, you know, early days of Glee. We're getting to see some other groups that are actually, like, you know, working together well and have, like, their shit together rather than the New Directions, who are still not quite there fully until, you know, I guess we get to a couple of episodes from now, their sectionals. But that is number 8, Bootylicious. And we move on to number 7 as Aman is going to lose his mind. Right, we have the Amazonians here singing yes! Vacation in season 5. That's at the Nationals episode. This made it to Aman's top 10 songs of season 5.
I love this song, guys. It's primarily because of the soloist. I just love her voice. It's so punchy and rocky, and like, I would buy this lady's album if she had an album. I just love listening to her. I know that it's a throwaway song at the end of season 5, no less. Like, I get it, but I just, when it came on, I was just like, oh, okay, all right, oh. I was feeling it, I was in my zone, so
certainly
that's why
were.
I gave it top marks.
Top 10 of season 5, says Aman Adwin.
Can't seem to get my mind up on you.
So that's that, making its way all the way up to number 7, as you might have expected it to be, you know, a little bit lower. But top marks from Amon, for sure. And I don't know if there's any influence here over the audience as well.
I'm sorry if people are rolling their eyes at me. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. I don't give a shit.
No, it's at number 7. Nothing to be too concerned about. This isn't like number 1 because of you. So it's all good. Number 7 here. You know, there we go. Number 6, moving on up.
Living life for today.
Imagine there's no countries.
It's not hard to do.
Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us.
All right, there's Imagine from season, from the same episode, actually, from Bootylicious. Season 1, episode 11, Hierography, as the Havenport School for the Deaf is going to make a stop by the by McKinley and, you know, kind of share just some touching moments there with the new direction. So this is just, you know, a nice heartwarming number here.
Yeah, it is. It is a very heartwarming number. I love how they sort of, like, take over. I mean, I don't think that the deaf students minded, but, like, I mean, they definitely didn't get up when you guys were shaking your wigs all over the face. The least you could do is let them finish the performance before hijacking it. But it's fine, because it's emotional, and it's a moment of connection, or whatever. I'm just saying.
Yes, so that is Imagine from season 1. Just, you know, a nice moment. All the kids get up, all the New Directions kids get up and stand by one of the kids from the Havenport School and join together to sing the rest of the song, and just a very nice moment. Santana always stands out to me here because I feel like she's not that she's like not down for what's happening here, but she's just like not picking up on what's going on throughout the song. We paused it, you know, before we could get to the last like minute of it, but if you like pay attention to Santana in the song, she's kind of like off from the rest of them, so I don't know what was happening there. But that's that. So Imagine comes in at number 6. And moving on, the top 5, we got some pretty big performances here in the top 5. We got some harmony. We've got some Hoosier Daddies. We've got some throat explosions. So let's get into it. Right, we got a great song there, and of course Jessica Sanchez here being with the Hoosier Daddies in Glee on the season 4, right? That's season 4's finale of regionals there. So I like that. I like both of the covers that are going to be here for Jessica Sanchez.
Yeah, I was expecting her to have a bit more of a substantial role, and there were scenes that were cut in exchange for just having her have two full songs back to back. Because, I mean, she does have like a little thing where Mr. Shu sees her singing the national anthem or whatever. But that's right. About it. I enjoy this. I think that I enjoy this maybe a little bit more than Clarity. Maybe because Clarity, this was out, what? This was season 4, right? So this is 2012. And Clarity and Zed were everywhere. Like, you could not escape any Zed. Like, it was just, he was everywhere. Not that I don't like it, because yes. I love Zed, but I think that I was just a little bit more, you know, the Clarity covers were a dime a dozen back then, so I think that just having some Little Mix in the mix was mm-hmm. nice. So,
yeah. I've seen Little Mix perform before. I've seen Zed perform, too. I've seen all these people. Little Mix opened up for, I want to say, Demi Lovato. Could have been, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it was Demi Lovato. So,
I've never seen Little Mix, but I have seen Zed three times now.
Whoop. There's that. Yeah, Demi is the most I've ever seen, which is like four times, but other than that, no, Gaga, so twice. We don't have to get into this now. But I would love to have seen Zed three times, because Zed was the moment. Maybe not like right now. I don't need to see Zed anymore, but like at the time, would have had a lot of fun.
I miss Zed. I mean, he's had a few tracks here and there over the past couple of years, but like I'm waiting for like the next full-length album. I miss him.
Yeah. I miss him. Zed, if you're out there, call us. Say hi. We miss you. Okay. So that was number five, and let's move into number four.
And we've often rewound the clock since the Puritans got a shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock. If today any shock they should try to
Alright, I turn to you here.
And you know you can hold, I can hold longer. I can hold any note longer than you. Yes, I. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
I love this mashup so much, so much. I mean, I've raved about it already. Not much more to say. This was the Spanish version. Again, I can tell because the way that Kurt just yelled at the end of that was not Chris Colfer's voice. But anyway, yeah, I am just great. And what's-her-face, Lindsay Pierce, does such a great job here.
Yes.
And just, I mean, it's musical theater child incarnate, right? Like all the tap dancing, all of the classic musical theater four steps, like mashing up of Anything Goes and Annie Get Your Gun. Just, I mean, come on. It was like two songs that were begging to be mashed up, and it finally took Glee to make it happen. So there we go.
Yeah, so we had Lindsay Pierce here, our runner-up, or one of our runners-up from the Glee Project Season 1, who gets the two spots on to Glee, and both of her songs are going to end up here in the top four. This is the first one that's coming up here with Harmony and the rest of these Niata hopefuls that are, you know, practicing what they're practicing here. We got that mashup here that lands at number four. Kicks things off at the beginning of Season 3. Kurt and Rachel are like, wow, okay, so we are not the only talented kids that are trying to get into Niata. Okay, that's good to know. I mean, I don't know why they would have thought that, but obviously takes them by surprise here when they're like, oh, wow, so we have to be that good. Cool. All right. So that's number four. And I knew that you were going to be excited to get to that one as well. There's a lot of songs in this countdown that just really speak Amon language. So that is number four. And we move on to number three.
Ways where the past comes back to life. Fight fear for the selfish pain. It was worth it every time. Hold still right before we crash, cause we both know how this ends. A clock ticks till it breaks your glass, and I drown in you again. Cause you are the piece of me. Still fighting, I don't know why. If I
Okay, suddenly it's 2012 all over again. I'm in the car. I've got my friends in the backseat. We are jamming out to some Zed. I am living my best life again right now. That re-energized me. Different songs re-energized both of us. So this is the kind of thing that gets me going while I'm on getting the show tunes side of things covered here. So I'm glad that we have both ends of the Glee spectrum covered. I'm here for this one. Clarity, making the top three. I'm good.
No, I agree. I love Zed. I have all of, well, he doesn't have a bunch of albums. I have both of his full-length albums and all of the little mini projects that he's done. I was a big, big Zed head back then, and I still am. So yeah, I love this too. It definitely, I get chills every time I hear this song.
It's so good.
I think it's the classical training, y'all. Like, there was such a, you know, I won't say it was a big divide. And it's nothing new, because I feel like every time electronic music makes its way back into, like, the mainstream, there's always, like, the naysayers that are like, oh my god, it's not real music, da da da. I'm like, yes, it is. It is. Like, this guy has classical training, he knows how to play multiple instruments, and then he takes all of that knowledge and then applies it to a computer, okay? That's all he's doing. And then he's able to create stuff like this that still gives you, like, it's...
energy.
It just pumps you up. It's just a good track. I mean, this song is Grammy-winning for a reason, right? So...
I love Zed. I love Clarity. So Jessica Sanchez with a pretty solid cover here on Glee. Anything else from you?
No.
Ready for number two?
I think that says it all.
Just me hyping, hyping the whole world up here for some Zed. And number two. Let's play it. Let's hear it.
Oh my God, it's the Gerber baby.
I'm new. I want to say I'm just a little stuck on you. You'll be on me too.
Oh my God, she's gone. Torture. I should be singing that song.
Stand back. You want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality. Fill me up with your heat, with your noise, with your dirt. Overdo me. Let me dance to your beat. Make it loud. Let it hurt. Run it through me. All I want is a whole lot of excess. Tell the singer this is where I'm playing. Too far, it's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. You're a trip, you're a treat, you will shine to the death, you are shoddy. But your flesh, you are meat, you shall have every breath in my body. Put me down for a lifetime of success. Give me credit, I'll find ways of paying.
Okay, Lindsay Pierce hitting us yet again. Miss Harmony here with Buenos Aires from season 3. We've got our sectionals performance and the unitards sweep on in and drop that on us. And I think this made one of your top 10s as well. Maybe season 3 top 10.
Yes, I love this song. I think the thing about this song for me is just, I mean, aside from it being musical theater, of course, but aside from that, it's just like the pinpoint precision. Obviously, the person singing this song is trained. And of course, there is, you know, producer finagling and everything. I mean, all the songs on Glee are going to sound refined, right? But just like the phrasing when it comes to that bridge of the song, that's something that can't be produced. That's something that's not taught. She sounds great. She just sounds great. And I love the fact that there's the added spice of Rachel having to sit there through that song. When it, of course, this is something that Rachel would sing. If anything, I feel like this probably was a song that was written for Rachel to sing at one point, and they were like, you know what? Let's give it to Lindsay. Let's see what happens.
Oh my gosh, it's the Gerber baby.
Oh my God, it's the Gerber baby. It's torture.
So I guess you can. I guess you can officially count this as the Harmony character study. She's here, and she got two good songs, and that's it. So probably more than you could say for Joe. Oops. My bad. Oops, I went there.
You did it on purpose.
No, I didn't. You want to be spiteful. No, I didn't. Stop it. No, I didn't. I would never at all do that to you. That was number two on the countdown here of this wacky list of other groups performing their hit songs on Glee. And we have one left to go. And who knows if you're keeping track at home. But if you are, if you're not, let's hear it anyway. Number one.
Domo. like a swinging vine, swinging my heart across the line, and in my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something so right, doing the wrong thing. And I feel something so wrong, doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive.
Yes! Mr. Roboto, Counting Stars from Throat Explosion at Season 5's Nationals, which is going to be where they win with that performance. Sorry to the New Directions, who do not end up pulling out the victory there, but a tough act to overcome with Skylar Astin stopping by Glee.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that it's at number one. I mean, it's not a bad set of songs by any means, but I just thought that it would suffer from Season 5-ness. But I guess with this category, that kind of thing doesn't really exist as much, does it?
I think it's the Skylar Astin factor, right? The pitch-perfect guy comes on into Glee. Also, I mean, not that this was a factor then, but now Skylar Astin's out here on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist alongside Alex Newell. So, you know, there's some love. I think there's a lot of love out there for Skylar. So, I don't know. I'm a big fan of this one, so I am happy to see it here at the top spot. But and I wouldn't say that I'm too surprised, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We'll be counting stars. Is it like official call? Is it a mashup or is it just two songs back to back?
This is just two songs back to back.
Because it like on the tracks and on everything, like it counts as one song. It's like, you know, on like released as one song. It's like, you know, listed everywhere as one song. But it's just, you know, I don't know. I guess it's a lame attempt at a mashup of like, let's just sandwich them together. But I don't know. Still good. Still enjoyable to my ears. So.
Yeah, it's just two songs back to back. If they were like intertwined, it'd be a mashup. But I guess they just recorded them as one track and then just released it that way.
Yeah, smoothly pretty much transitions into the other. So I enjoy that one that lands here at the top spot. And that is our 15 random group number songs. So anything else for you on that? We had fun.
Yeah, no, I think that's it for me on that one.
All right. I was going to do Trouble Tones last, but let's actually do this in the middle here because I'm not going to play these songs. We don't really have a whole lot extra to talk about with the Trouble Tones here, but kind of wanted to give them at least, you know, 5 minutes of spotlight. Most of the Trouble Tones content that we're going to go back over is going to be covered already in Mercedes's podcast and then to come in Santana's podcast. But just, you know, talking a little bit here about the existence of them. Of course, there's a lot of debate. Should they have won? Should they have been able to last a little bit longer? You know, there was one sectionals where the New Directions and the Warblers tied for first place. Why couldn't that have happened here? And they both go on to compete, but probably because, you know, we wanted to get all the kids back together. But, you know, and I also do have the six Trouble Tones songs that, again, I'm not going to play, but I will tell you the rankings of here. I don't know. What comes to mind when I tell you Trouble Tones?
Talented. Great. Fantastic. Santana. Mercedes. Britney. Sugar. Like, legendary. You know,
keywords to type in on a Google search when you're typing in Trouble Tones information.
Yeah, Shelby Corcoran. What else is there?
Iconic, yes. I don't know. Just, you know, appreciative of this group that came together to highlight the incredible talent of specifically Amber Riley and Naya Rivera and the talent that they had, especially together, the chemistry that they had on stage with their voices. And of course, you know, Heather Morris as well, mixing into that group of just rounding out the trio that are up in front. And, you know, Heather gets in a little bit vocally as well. And of course, you know, giving some dance excitement to the group, and Sugar being there to just give some sugar factor as well. So yeah, just a lot of fun the time that we had with them.
Yeah, it was it's a great addition to the lore of Glee. I'm glad that they pissed them off enough to make them start their own group, because then we got so much great stuff from it.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, all of these songs are going to end up on other countdowns, so I'm not going to, you know, extend this podcast any longer than it needs to be. Let me tell you from the bottom of the Trouble Tones countdown list, a song that we're actually going to hear in the next section comes in at the 6 out of 6 spot. I'm So Excited from the Wedding episode with the Trouble Tones reunion. Obviously, that's not a exact Trouble Tones number. We've got the moms in there as well, but goes down in the history books as a Trouble Tones number and comes in at the 6 out of 6 spot, followed by season 3, episode 16 from Regionals, What Doesn't Kill You, Stronger, there, comes in at number 5. Right above that, we got Candyman. Right above that, we've got Edge of... Right above that, we've got Edge of Glory at the number 3 spot, followed by Survivor, I Will Survive at number 2, and of course, rumor has it, Someone Like You as the number 1, the top tier song from the Troubletones, probably to the surprise of absolutely nobody. You got a little bit of a gap, actually, between the top 2 songs and the other songs. Not a big gap, but a little bit of a gap. So those 2 top songs kind of in a tier of their own. I don't know. It doesn't seem like I have a whole lot else for the Troubletones, but just wanted to give them a second of our time.
Shine. Yeah. They are the, like, underrated queens of the, well, not even underrated, everybody loves the Troubletones. They deserved at least one win, I guess you could say. But that would have come in direct conflict with the New Direction, so it just was never meant to be.
They did deserve that, but, you know, alas. So, Troubletones, shout out. Big fans, give me your autographs. We love you. So, the last thing that we have to talk about here today are the septets. Am I saying that right? The septets and the octets of the Glee world. So what does that mean? That is any group that has either 7 or 8 members participating in the performance. Not all of them have every single member, you know, as a lead vocalist on it. Some of them have like one person that's going to kind of lead the way, but everybody's in the background or everybody's involved in like the dance, you know, the performance of it all. So some of this might be, you know, better visually, but hey, what are you going to do? So we are going to start from the bottom to the top here, as usual. What's up?
When it's 3 people, do you say triplet when it's singing? Or is trio only for, or is it trio? Because 2 people is duet. I guess 3 people would be, but then you say for 4 people, you say quartet. So why wouldn't it just be triplet for 3 people?
Because the triplet is already something else. It's already being used by babies or, you know,
people that are
born in 3s.
Interesting. What's 5 people? Quintet, duh.
Yeah, Quinn for Bray-tet. So today we're going to talk about groups that have 7 to 8 members in them, and then we also have more to come. Not today, but we'll have like 6 and 5 and 4 and 3 and so on, blah, 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 blah. So you also don't have this list pulled up in front of you, so you're going to be surprised at any song that comes up here. But I'm excited. There's some good songs in here. So I guess without any further ado, let's get into the septets and octets of Glee. There are 11 of them here. And of course, we're starting down at the bottom.
I think he's got it. I think he's got it. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plane.
By George, he's got it.
By George, he's got it.
Now once again, where does it rain? On the plane, on the plane. And where's that soggy plane? In Spain, in Spain. The rain in Spain stays mainly. Hurricanes hardly happen. How kind of you to let me come.
Now once again, where does it rain? On the plane, and where's that blasted plane? In Spain, in Spain.
Okay. One of the most iconic Glee covers ever, right? Okay. So the rain in Spain there, we've got Matt Rutherford. Yes. That's not the case. Why do I have Matt in my notes? This is from season 3. Who's there? Why do I have Matt? We have Mike, Joe, Finn, Puck, Artie, Rory, Sam is who I meant to write, not Matt. I'm like, why is Matt on my paper? Okay. We wish Matt was there. Rain in Spain.
Sounds like Matt tried to insert himself into this, what is this, septet?
This is 7 of these lovely gentlemen here.
I mean, they could have given Joe a solo. That's all I'm going to say about this song.
He had a guitar solo.
Did he, though? I saw multiple guitars in there.
I don't know. He was on the guitar, jamming away, talking about the rain in Spain, staying mainly in the plane.
This song is, I mean, fine, sure, whatever. Anything to, you know, shoehorn test answers into a song in, like, the most weird way as possible by rockifying this musical theater song.
Yep. So that was at number 11 from season 3 as Puck is getting ready to graduate. And I think that's the last time you're going to hear that on a countdown. I think and probably hope. I just, you know, okay. That was number 11. Let's move on to number 10.
Lips as sweet as candy. Baby, strong inside, but you don't know it. Good little girls, they never show it.
When you open up your mouth to speak, could you be a little weak?
Do you know, do you know what it feels like in this world?
So that actually did include Matt Rutherford. So maybe that's where I was going earlier. That was Mike and Matt and Kurt and Finn and Puck, Artie and Will. So that was seven guys here singing in season one about what it feels like for a girl.
This is such a weird ass like performance, song, everything. It's just weird.
I agree. It's all, you know, it's them being punished essentially for the fact that they all treat the girls in the club poorly, specifically Artie, you know, telling Tina to stop dressing the way she does. And they all come together talking about, you know, we need to understand what it feels like to be a girl. And just in a very strange way, we get this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised this isn't in last place. I much more enjoyed the Rain in Spain, Sains mainly in the Plains.
I don't know. I guess I feel like a lot of Puck performances that are specifically Puck are going to go a little bit lower in general. So that lands at number 10, What It Feels Like for a Girl. If you are still awake and with us here, we're going to move on to number 9.
We'll get some overhead lifters and some four-barrel quads, oh yeah. Keep talking or keep talking. A fuel injection cut off and chrome-plated rods, oh yeah.
I get the money, I kill it.
With a 4-speed on the floor, they'll be waiting at the door. You know that ain't no crap, we'll be getting lots of that in grease lightning.
Go,
grease lightning, you're burning up the quarter mile.
Grease lightning, go, grease lightning.
Go, grease lightning, you're coursing through the heat lab trial.
Grease lightning, go, grease lightning.
You are supreme, the chicks will scream for grease lightning. We'll get some purple French tail lights and 30-inch fins, oh yeah. A Palomino dashboard and dual muffler twins, oh yeah. With new pistons, plugs, and shocks, I can get off my rocks. You know that I am bragging, she's a real honey wagon. Grease lightning. Go, grease lightning, you're burning up the quarter.
All right, we've heard this one pretty recently when we did the Ryder countdown, and we have here Joe and Ryder and Sam and Finn and Artie and Jake and Mike with some Grease Lightning at the Burt's Tire Shop, season 4.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of guy songs here. That's so strange.
Maybe because the girl songs are better.
Maybe.
Who knows?
This is fun. This is like what? Like, Ryder's like real main first performance. I mean, he does sing with Finn at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of this episode, I think, actually. But this is
the episode before. Yeah,
episode before. Okay, well, yeah, this is like his main, like, you know, solo
breakout.
Sound great, his breakout solo. Yeah.
Yeah, so Grease Lightning coming in at number 9, and let's move on to, let me just tell you, we got two songs back-to-back here from the same episode. Let's start off with number 8.
There are places I'll remember all my life. Dead and some are living in my
Okay, so there was In My Life, the underclassmen singing to the seniors. We've got Artie, Tina, Joe, Rory, Sugar, Sam, Blaine, and also Will singing with them. So we got an 8-person group there singing some goodbyes.
Yeah, this is great. I personally like the song that the seniors sing to the underclassmen a little bit more than this one, but this is really cute and sweet, and all the seniors getting their moment, except, I mean, you paused it. I don't know if it's paused on the same image for you, but, like, Puck looks kind of over it.
he doesn't know he's graduating. He does not look too happy, yeah.
I thought this was after he already knew he was going to graduate. Isn't this goodbye?
Yeah, this is the last episode, so I don't know the exact timeline of, like, when this comes in the episode, but he should know. I mean, otherwise he would be singing with the underclassmen if he was going to stick around, right?
Yeah, why is he looking so mad?
He's Puck. I don't know. He's an angry guy. But
at least Mike Chang was happy.
Yes. So In My Life, they're coming in at number 8, and we can talk about them together because the other song that you just mentioned is going to come in here at number 7. I might be tearing up a little bit. I might not be. Who's to say? Who gets to be the judge of that? Not you guys, certainly. Yeah, you get what you give from the same episode there. Goodbye, as the seniors sing off to the underclassmen. And, oh, man, that gets you in the feels. Like, why is that one so much more? Oh, my goodness.
It's the nostalgic feel to the song. It's like that 80s movies credits music, right? Just got like a feel good energy to it, and pairing it with this scene of them, you know, splitting up essentially. It's it really is like, it just is the end of a era of Glee. As you move on into the next phase of the show. So yeah, that's why I like this one so much, because it's just infused with so much, like, you know. Yeah. Goodness.
I speak for myself and I speak for the audience here. I want to speak for the audience here that we all should be giving this one a little bit of higher ratings. I feel like, not that number 7 is bad, but I mean, I do have the rest of the list in front of me, and there's a couple of other songs that I think I can see this one maybe should have gone higher then. But you know, it's got the emotional factor. You got to be watching it as well sometimes to get, like, the you know, Santana coming over to give Brittany a hug and mess with Will's hair, and even like the Puck and Sam high five, and Artie making a face at him. It's just a bunch of character moments of, like, these people that have been together for how long now, 3 full years now, that are, like, it does genuinely feel almost like a real goodbye. Not that the show's ending, but like the show as they knew it was over. That, you know, they were going to be going off to doing either new storylines. They were never going to again be together, all of them in that room as the Glee Club. You know, it was a long journey, and that's, you know, a sad moment, and you can see it in the actors' faces of just like the genuine emotion behind it. So yeah, that one, that got me. That one got me in the feels, and what are you going to do? So number 7, you get what you give. Ready to move on to number 6. Let's try to have some more fun here. And stop crying as we listen to this, number 6.
Keep me satisfied.
Right, so I kind of wonder if like the full version of that song has more of like Kurt and Blaine, because on the you know, the way that like the credits go for that track is that it's Marley and Ryder, Rachel and Finn, Santana and Brittany, Kurt and Blaine. But I didn't hear much of Kurt and Blaine, a little bit of Santana and Brittany, but it definitely was more of the Marley, Ryder, Finn and Rachel of it all. But that lands at number six. You're the one that I want.
Yeah, I forget which lyric website it is. I think it's Genius Music, or maybe it's, I forget which one. But they're usually really good at annotating which parts of the songs each character is singing. So if you were,
yeah,
if you were wondering about that, you should definitely look that up. I tried to find it, but I couldn't find it before the song was done. But anyway, yeah, I love
this
scene.
The Glee Wiki as well also does that. They have the exact same breakdown, yeah, for each song.
Yeah, I love this. I love the way that it's shot. I love that it's, you know, all in Rachel's head as she begins to, well, not even just Rachel, but all of the people that are there, they all begin to imagine themselves within the song. It's always been something that sort of like gave me a little bit of chills. It's kind of like the reverse of what You Get What You Give is. It's kind of like, you know, looking back instead of looking forward. So.
Yep. So that is number six. We got some final bits of grease here in the countdown for today. Five more songs to go here before we will let you guys go for the day. We have at number five, let's pop on in on some season six, why don't we?
Someone who turns your heart around, and next thing you know, you're closing down the town. Wake up and it's still with you. Even though you left a way across town, you wander into yourself. Hey, what have I found? When you get caught between the moon and New York City, I know it's crazy, but it's true. If you get caught between the moon, the best that you can do is fall in love. Arthur, he does as he pleases. All of his life, his master's.
Arthur's theme, season six. We got Rodney. Who's Rodney? We got Roderick. We got Sam. We got Blaine. We got Artie. We got Kurt, Spencer, and Mason. I have recently rewatched Survivor Worlds Apart, so Rodney is on my mind. But that's Roderick.
Not Rodney.
Anyway.
Is that the podcast you're going to be on? Because next thing you know, you're going to be calling Rodney Roderick on that one.
No. That already happened. The audience had this at number nine, but we helped them out yet again and gave it the boost to number five. Yeah. Yes.
I love this. I prefer the full studio version over the edit on the TV, because there's some cool stuff, as I've mentioned before, that Blaine and Artie do at the end. But of course, I love the beginning of the second verse because my boo is singing. So, yes.
Yes. Shout out Billy Lewis Jr. And all the seven guys that are up on that stage trying to get Rachel to get her ass back to New York with Arthur's theme, The Best That You Can Do. And yes, it's a very, very good number. If you are not the biggest, you know, person on season six music, get back in there. There's some good stuff in here. So that is that. And, you know, speaking of season six music, why don't we just make number four also from season six? Let's just play the next song.
You
right. We've got some wedding fun here. We've got Carol Hudson. We've got Whitney Pierce. We've got Mrs. Anderson. We've got Mirabel Lopez. We've got Santana, Brittany, Mercedes, and Sugar.
Yes. Just like so iconic. I love it. I love it. Like, I didn't realize how much I needed a Trouble Tones number in season 6 until she, Miss Anderson, announced it. I was like, yes, here we go. I love Sugar here. Sugar having her little dance solo, having her little moment. Just fills my heart with so much joy. It's so fun. I love getting to hear Jennifer Coolidge sing, because she's not really a singer, but I loved getting to hear her sing. This was great. This was so fun. And watching Blaine get embarrassed by his mom later on in the number is just, I mean, that's just what marriage, that's what weddings are for, right? Like having your parents embarrass you on your special day. I love it so much.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Kind of distracts you a little bit from the fact that there are some missing guests here at the wedding. So I guess Sugar being back here was, making up for the lack of Diana Agron, being around. Sorry, that's not here. But we get a fun Trouble Tones number, and I think that makes it all, worthwhile here at a very gay wedding in season 6.
Gay wedding.
That's number 4. That's number 4, and we move on to the top 3. Should I tell you what we have left, or are you just enjoying this whole excitement of learning?
I'm enjoying learning on the fly.
Okay. Number 3. Yes. You were asking earlier, where are all the girls' performances? Up here at the top is exactly where they are and where they belong. I kissed a girl, and yeah, I remember us not having like the best things overall to say about this episode, but watching all of these Glee girls together in this one performance, in this one song, I'm good. I'm happy.
Yeah, this is great. The from top to bottom, from the beginning of the scene to the end of the scene, I love that it has this guy coming up to Santana, and I love that Mercedes is the first one to talk. Move your busted ass. Like, get the hell out of her face. I love that they just come right into the choir room, and everybody like turns to look at them like, what the hell is going on? And they just all sit down to watch the performance. I love it. The only thing that would have made this better for me is just we need a few more solos. Like, I don't think that this needs to be... obviously, Santana needs to be singing and needs to be taking the lead here. I don't think that Rachel needs to have the second lead here. I feel like we need to divvy this up amongst the girls. Most notably, someone that should have gotten a solo in here was Tina. This was her audition song for the New Directions. Like, there really should have been a special moment of this song with Tina. Like, that's the only note about it. But other than that, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible here. I do agree. Tina would have been, deserving of a bit of a solo in this song. But the dynamic when we're getting, Rachel and Santana singing together, and the occasional times where they'll be like, oh, wow, we are good together. Like, we probably, could have done this the whole time. That's just, some worthwhile stuff. Quinn seems like 10 feet taller than I thought she was in this performance. For some reason, she's like, standing over like everybody else. I didn't ever think she was like short, but for some reason in this one she seems a lot taller. We get some fun Sugar moments with Brittany in the background of this, so it's a lot of fun all around with I Kissed a Girl from, of course, season 3, episode 7. And we move on. 2 more songs left to go. Let's see if we're gonna get some more of these girls in the next song. Spoiler alert, we are.
I want your love and I want your revenge. You and me could ride
There it is. There it is, Bad Romance. Some season one for you, some theatricality. We've got the Glee Girls, and we've got Kurt as well, of course, for the Gaga number, bringing the total count of people in this song up to 7, including it in today's countdown. And yes, there are a lot of really good moments in that one that I think for season one Glee gives me what I'm looking for.
Yes, I love that this is a Super Bowl episode. I wish that I was like into Glee at the time to really like follow along with the hype of watching this live. It's like one of my greatest Glee regrets. I love this. I love this. This is like the era of Gaga reigning supreme. Can you believe this song is like 12 years old now? Isn't that insane?
It's pretty crazy when you think about it. Yeah.
Insane. But I'm proud of it being 12 years old. I'm proud that like I got to be a teenager growing up in like at the height of Gaga's, you know, music career. It was just such a fun and energizing time, and Glee definitely rode the train by, you know, having this be a part of the show with all of the extra theatrics that came along with the episode as well. So yeah, I love this cover. I love everyone in it. Not Rachel strutting down this runway in
with the hot glued Shelby's dolls on her. Finest. Yeah.
Oh, no, Shelby didn't make this
everybody
one.
Else has got
she made
some,
that one.
Like,
Shelby
elaborate.
Made the real one, the better looking one. Yeah.
And you know what the problem that I have with that is? Not actually, but like, of course, Lea Michele is out here with the costume that's probably the most comfortable to wear around all day. She's just sitting on a bunch of padded toys.
Yeah, but she
while everybody
worst,
else has got
though.
Bubbles.
She looks the worst. Fashion is pain.
I know. All I hear though is about all the different stories they have of like all of these were so uncomfortable. So of course she was the most comfortable on set. But yeah, I guess you have a good point that she looks the most ridiculous out here compared to everybody else looking great. So there's that.
What's
Bad Romance at number 2.
Matt?
And
what's your favorite Lady Gaga song, Matt, before you get to number 1?
Wow. Killing my momentum. I can't do that exercise right now. There's just too many.
Wow, and, no back pocket answer. Interesting. Okay.
No, I don't have a back pocket answer for any of these. Like, what's your favorite song of all time? I don't have any answer for that.
Well, that's hard. That one's hard. But Lady Gaga, I mean, you've had a long time to think about it. You've had 12 years.
I mean, honestly, like, off the top of my head, like, the one that I would say probably stands out as number one overall probably is Bad Romance because of... both A, it being a good song, but B, like just that being like the song that like, you know, kind of defined the era for Gaga there. And it was like, you know, I'm somebody who will like stand the main character of a movie because like you're supposed to. So like this is like the main Gaga song from that time. And it just stands out to me the most. But like there are so many, like the entire Fame Monster album, I could go on about for an entire, you know, 7 hours, spending an hour or change on each song. Tough question. Thanks for hitting me with that one. I was totally unprepared.
You're welcome.
Do you have an answer?
Oh, Alejandro. Alejandro's my favorite Gaga song.
Oh, that's like my least favorite Gaga song on that album.
A lot of people are... I'm a big Gaga fan, so a lot of people are surprised when I say that. But I just... I mean, without going too deep into it, I just love the production on that song. I just love the pulsing heartbeat of the song and the choreography. I think that's a big part of it as well. The music video is probably one of my favorite Lady Gaga music videos. And that's
yes,
a really tough,
very good.
tough one. Because Judas is up there as well as far as choreography goes. But yeah, I think that it's just like the most inventive. And that along with the track, I think it's just... Alejandro just gets me there. Takes me there every time. He takes me there every time.
And I already feel regret because I said my least favorite. It's like all of the songs are like 10 out of 10s. So when you're picking, you know, your least favorite of a bunch like that, it's tough to do. But no, whatever. So that is Bad Romance coming in at number 2. And the number 1 song that has either 7 or 8 people. Wonder, again, if you're keeping track at home, it might be pretty obvious what this is about to be. But let's get to it and let's all cry together.
To meet you, tell ya I'm sorry. You don't know how lovely you are. Running in circles, coming up tails, heads on a science apart.
It's such a shame for us to part.
Nobody said it was easy.
No one ever said it would be this hard. Oh, take me back to the start.
The Scientist, Season 4, Episode 4, The Breakup, of course. You knew it the second it started playing. Of course, it's a very, very emotional ending to that episode, as all of those couples are going through some tough times, some more than others. You know, Will and Emma kind of looking at you there. I still think that there could have been potential there to, like, add in, you know, a Sam and Mercedes instead of, like, the Will and Emma, especially since Sam and Mercedes, you know, could have been a thing that could have actually been, you know, a more believable, some kind of split there, but I don't know. I have a hard time critiquing it just because it is such a big piece in, like, Glee song history. It just is always going to stand out to me as one of the greats by far. And yes, Scientist.
Yeah, this is great. I'm glad that when we did the breakup podcast, we really went song by song because, yeah, like I said before, that episode just perfectly curated. This song is perfect ending. I kind of came around on Emma and Will being a part of this, actually, upon this viewing. I noticed something that I guess I really haven't given too much thought to before, in that Emma is, like, the only one that's, like, looking at her partner, whereas everyone else is sort of just looking forward. And I always sort of, like, wonder what was the artistic decision behind that. And I guess it's because Will and Emma are, like, sort of, like, the most stable out of the rest of them. The rest of them are breaking up, right? Like, they're going two separate directions, which would explain, like, the disconnect. But with Emma and Will, they're not really breaking up. They're just in a bit of an argument. And Emma, like, the entire episode is trying to get Will to hear her. So I really feel like that, maybe I'm thinking too hard about it, but I feel like there has to be a reason as to why she's the only one that's actually maintaining contact with her partner, whereas everyone else is just off in their own spaces. But that's just director Amon talking.
No, I don't think you're thinking too hard about it. I like to analyze, like, the deep, getting into it here, especially how many times have we watched it now, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but the song itself, great. I love that there are some, you know, everyone gets, like, a little moment. I love Britney's voice on her part. I love Emma's voice on her part. I just think that this is, I think this is great.
Yeah, it's some good stuff here. I don't think anybody would deny that. It's going to make it into the top 10 of our overall countdown. Not as high as I actually would have expected. I would have not been surprised at all if this ended up at, like, number 1, 2, or 3, given, you know, we don't have all the songs just yet. But it goes up to right now at number 8. So, kicking out Human Nature, sorry to Human Nature, making its way to number 11 there. But The Scientist sneaks into the top 10, so now we've got Marry the Night, oops, at number 10, If I Were a Boy at number 9 at this moment in time, and number 8, The Scientist. The rest of the songs that we talked about today, if you, want anything close to the top 10, even the top 20, you're not going to find anything until we get down to number 56, which is where Bad Romance currently sits. And even further down, you would go to find, right now, Throat Explosions, Mr. Roboto, Counting Stars at number 71. Most of what we talked about today, a lot of the songs from that earlier countdown are going to be towards the bottom of the list. If we're going to count those in the overall countdown, which I think we are, we have a new bottom 5 with She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain at number 320 right now, bottom of the barrel. She Walks in Beauty at number 319, Jesus Is My Friend at 318, The Rain in Spain at 317, and then Will and Emma at number 316 with You're All the World to Me. So that's some updates on the overall charts. I assume you're not too surprised to see The Scientist sneak into the top 10.
No, not at all. I mean, it's from like...
the episode.
Yeah, is it the most critically acclaimed episode? I don't know. I've never actually looked into it. I think that it is.
I mean, it's got to be up there, right? It's a big episode for sure. Season 4, episode 4. So The Scientist landing there. And I think that's all we have for today. We'll let you guys go. We're going to have a couple more of these probably up next in your feed with a couple of different countdowns that we will get to. And I'm not going to, you know, start promising whatever they are next because we're still kind of figuring it all out. So anything else for you from today? Enjoy today's songs?
Never mind. According to IMDb, The Quarterback is the most critically acclaimed. But that's just IMDb. I'd have to look and see which... what like that which scores and stuff and critics reviews they are including in this overall ranking. But yeah, besides that, no, that's it for me. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're not following us already, make sure that you're following us at Choir Room Pod on both Twitter and TikTok. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Amon Adwin. Matt is at Matt Ligori. I suppose by this time our Blam fan fiction reading will already be up on Twitch, so if you would like to watch that, that is also at, well, not also anywhere, it's at twitch.tv/AmonAdwin, where we're going to be doing that. And anything else, Matt?
That's all I got. Thank you guys for checking this one out, and keep on going. Let us know feedback, let us know what your thoughts are on the rankings, and anything else that you want to talk to us about. We are all ears.
All right, until next time, guys, we will glee you later.